This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome and thanks for tuning into the Premier Aftermarket Podcast. I'm Carm Capriotto. And with over 1,000 episodes archived between the different formatted shows, all you need to do is to head to my website, remarkableresults.biz, to find the answers to many questions you have. Or, hey, look, just spend some time with your favorite podcast listening app and binge on some audio. Hey, think about the latest procedure or surgery you had. You put all your trust in the doctor and the medical staff as you were getting put under anesthesia. Can we translate that trust into auto repair customers? How do we gain, here's my keys, I trust you, fix it, and let me know when it's done type of customers? In this episode, Andy Bishop and Charlie Marcotte break down the fundamentals of connecting with customers and what that means to your business. Hey, a special thanks to NAPA for sponsoring this episode. You know, we together can fix the technician shortage by investing now in an apprentice. Let NAPA help you. Start now. Grow your own. Build your bench. Our future technicians can come from our concentrated efforts. Contact your NAPA representative to learn more or log on to member.napaautocare.com and get started. Hey, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and share on my social media. We sure appreciate that. Now, the key talking points for this episode reside at remarkableresults.biz/E641. Get off the sidelines right now and onto the field. A warm welcome to Charlie Marcotte from American Pride Automotive, four locations in the Virginia Peninsula. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, thanks, Carm. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you are. And Andy Bishop, Midwest Performance Cars, two locations, Chicago.
Glad to be here.
Andy, I use your quote all the time on the website. The podcast is like a 40-minute 20 group. Thank you so much for that. It's my favorite summary of what we do here.
Good.
Favorite summary. Hey, look, guys, I reached out to Charlie and Andy about dropping your keys. And how do you build the trust in the relationship with your customer who just comes in and says, here, fix it? I think that's, you know, the pinnacle of a customer trust and relationship. But because of COVID and all the things that are going on in the industry and in the world, there's more things to talk about. So I think what we're going to attempt to do here today is to get you motivated as to how and why this works. And Charlie, you're the one who told me, Carm, key dropping relationships are all about trust.
Absolutely. The operative word there is trust. And trust is something that, as we know, it's ours to lose in everything that we do. Can you imagine more trust than to walk into your doctor and say, you know, do whatever I need. I trust you. And then I'll see you on the other side. You know, we were expecting that and we would love that from our customers. And it's a huge responsibility to keep that trust after we've earned it. It's really ours to lose.
Wow. You know what he just said, Andy, that really shook me? When you go into an operating room, you drop your keys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what Charlie just said, I'll see you on the other side. You know, to me, that is, they put the thing in your arm, you kind of doze off, and you're in this total, I hope, I trust you relationship as, you know, you worked into this thing. You gained the confidence from the doctor. And to your point, it may not happen immediately in a customer relationship. You have to earn that. But man, when they drop the keys and says, I'm crazy busy, do what we have to do. It's kind of like saying, I trust you. That's the pinnacle, right, Andy?
There's a great parallel to that. So I had my hip replaced last year. And before I checked out the surgeon, I found the guy that I wanted to do it. And he had an animated video online of the operation, which I watched several times. And I mean, think about how we use photos and videos in our business now. That imparted so much knowledge, recognition of what was going to be going on, his expertise. And so when I went in that operating room and I wasn't nervous at all. I trusted the guy 100%. He did a great job. Think about building that kind of trust because you're imparting so much information to your client before they've even approved any work.
I think this topic is so big. It's so important. It kind of reminds me of the shows we've been doing on specialization and, you know, really honing in on your business strategies. And if there was one you could sit down and talk to your team about, it could be, how do we get more customers to drop their keys? And I know, Andy, because of COVID, because of what happened to our world, not, you know, we have to stop and realize not everyone wants to come and hang out in our waiting rooms. And the other big thing is we all stop to realize we're busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
I understand that a lot of owners, they take a ton of pride in their waiting rooms and building out these facilities, and that's great. But I'm a big proponent of people really want to get on with their lives. They don't want to sit in a waiting room. I don't want to sit in a waiting room no matter how nice it is. I want to get in, I'll drop off my car, I'll whatever, and I want to get on and get things done, stay productive during the day. So that's what we allow, people to do. Drop your car, give us your keys, we'll contact you whichever way you want to be contacted, you know, email, phone, text, and then you go about your day, don't worry about it.
You bring up a good point about we'll contact you. Do every key dropper want to be contacted, or they just want you to do the work?
I think they want to be contacted. And it's so easy for us to do it nowadays because we have the tools at our disposal to do it, especially text. Text has just blown the door open on communication with customers because they're so much more apt to respond and immediately get on a text message than they are with email or answer a phone call. So just make it convenient, make it seamless, make it streamlined for them, make it frictionless.
So, Charlie, what differentiates key droppers from the early bird drop-offs?
Well, the early bird drop-off, you know, the pinnacle of that is a loyal customer who comes in when they're supposed to come in as services are needed, which is great. The key dropper is really a person who holds it, literally holds out their keys and says, treat it like it was your own, call me when it's done. You know, in my mind, that's a key dropper. You know, we're talking a lot about trust. And if we try to take that point that we're trying to get to and figure out how to get to it, it's really all about relationships. You know, so at American Pride, we discuss things other than the car. I remember when I was in real estate, I was on the back porch of a home and I was being trained on how to be a salesperson. And the sales manager said, all right, I want you to handle an objection. You know, let's just say you're here with a customer and the customer loves the house, but he looks up and sees this huge tree looming over the house that may cause a problem. And you're on the back deck, beautiful day, and you look up and you say, and the customer says, you know, I see this big tree. You know, I'm concerned about that. And he said, just, you know, take a deep breath, look around, and then reflect on the day, you know, how beautiful it is and the feeling you have on the back deck. Because sometimes the objection is not the objection. When a customer comes in to build that trust, it's about the relationship. And in my mind, the best way to build that relationship is to talk about something other than why they're there, other than the car. You know, it may be about their dog or about the sticker on their rear window or maybe about what they had for breakfast. I mean, anything other than the car, that's a level of connection that most people don't get, you know, throughout the day. You know, we want their experience, their visit to our shops to be the high point of their day. And that's not about the car.
You know what? That's a human approach. That's built, like you said, building the relationship. We're very much the same. We're a very relationship-based business. So we know a lot about our customers and they know a lot about us. I would say much more than your typical, you know, customer shop relationship.
The most important part that people who are listening to this in whatever situation, driving down the road, in their office, on the treadmill. So how can I change my business to be a better and stronger relationship business? You know, Andy, Charlie, you've built that. You know, rewind 10 years or whatever the number is. When you sat down, you were on your own counters because you didn't have the staff that you have today, right? You had your single store. What did you do? And then how did you teach your people that we are on the trajectory to build strong and trusted relationships? How do you start?
It's a mindset, right? I'll give you just one little example. I was in a discussion about a month ago in one of the Facebook groups with other auto shop owners, and the subject of Bitcoin and accepting Bitcoin for payment came up. And you had two contingents. I don't do it yet, but as soon as it's available to do, I'll offer it to my clients, right? I'll take Bitcoin payment as long as that mechanism's in place. But you had another segment of shop owners that were like, I'll never do that. No way. Just shut it out, right? Why would I want to do that? If I have a client who wants to pay me in Bitcoin or credit card or cash, anything that's acceptable, that that is fungible, why wouldn't I do that? I want to meet my client wherever they want to be met. So when you take that mindset into your business and you infuse it through your team, we'll go the extra mile. We're trying to make it convenient and pleasant for our clients.
Charlie, I want to hear from you, but I got to stop for a moment and ask you both. You know, Andy, you brought up a great thing. I will never do Bitcoin. Why do we always have to be so steadfast, left or right, of a topic and never be in the center and want to be objective? You know, we want to, Bitcoin, I'd never take. Tell me more. I'd like to learn about it. I don't want to say that I will or I won't. I just want to absorb. I want to learn. And to your point, if my customers say I want to pay with Bitcoin, well, heck, 2 months ago I said I never would. And so since my ego is so strong and I always have to be right, I will never take it. And then what happens? Digital vehicle inspections. I'll never do that. Now, 30% of the industry is doing it and they're having wonderful results with it. And so I don't mean to interrupt you, your reply, Charlie, but maybe it's a good time to spend some time to talk about why can't we be neutral and objective more?
I think that a lot of us, especially the best shops, are neutral and objective. I think that's where you get the most done. You know, if you're far left or far right, you're an extreme. And I'm not sure how you really get things done on the extreme level. I think the most production takes place right in the middle, where you're able to pivot, you're able to listen, and you're able to adjust, you know, as Andy said, to what your customers' needs are. As businesses, you know, we're constantly training our customers. We trained them to accept a text message. At first, there was a little bit of an objection. After they got used to it, it was accepted, and now it's preferred. We trained them to drop off as opposed to wait. But at the same time, we're training our customers. You know, they're training us. And we have to be smart enough to listen to what their needs are, to what their desires are, and to be able to adjust to give them what they want. And there's always a little bit of give. You know, when a person wants something, they may take a little bit less or a little bit more. But being able to pivot, being in the middle, being effective, you know, that's where the most gets done. So I think for the best shop owners, it is a mindset thing. I do feel that the younger shop owners might have an advantage as the future for the industry progresses, as cars become more complicated, because they're more willing to adjust to those cars. But that doesn't mean that the people who are today rejecting the onset of EV cars or hybrids can't wake up one morning and say, you know what, I need to change my mindset. You know, we can all wake up every morning and change our progress.
It's great advice, Andy. What's your position on that?
I don't know who it was, but there's a famous quote, when the facts change, I change my opinion, right? So when the facts of payment processes, of communication modes, when all these things change, the intelligent person changes with it. There's no point in resisting all of this stuff. I'll tell you, this was really topical, actually, because a friend of mine just yesterday posted a picture of his Tesla and a mobile tire rack van next to it. And he wrote, "Tire Rack Innovating, love it. They came to me and installed my tires at work."
Mm-hmm.
Right? No, I'm not afraid of Tire Rack taking away my business. We order tires from Tire Rack. It's a great flexible choice option for our customers. And this way we don't have to stock tires. But I look at that and I look at what are the possibilities. I'm not looking at, oh man, that's going to, you know.
I love your point. Don't criticize. Don't jump on a particular position until you learn about it. Until you say, will that really affect me? I mean, the greatest stories that I continue to hear, unfortunately, that I continue to hear is a few weeks back with the camp coaches. And a guy reached out to two shops in his marketplace, and one said, don't open a shop, don't continue your shop, come and work for me. And the other one would refuse to help them because they have secret sauce they don't want to get out. To your point, Andy, you know that the market's so big, so huge, we're not each other's competition. There's so much business. You both can attest to it. And how come there's so much business? And it goes back to the question that you never answered yet, Charlie, is how do you build that trust and relationship? Because if you were there at the pinnacle of that, come on, tire rack, come on. Because I own my customer's tire mindset.
So building that trust, building that relationship to get a customer to become a key dropper, it is about the relationship, which is where we compete with the competition. As you stated, there's a lot of business out there. The pie has become bigger. And we are not each other's competition. The independent shop owners are not the competition. The competition is the new car dealer. And then the next tier of competition is the franchise. You know, so right now, they're in two states across the country. Firestone is doing mobile auto repair. Mobile auto repair, you know, from Firestone. You know, is it going to work? I don't know. But I'm paying attention to it because I've got my own ideas of how that might work. The way that we compete with the competition is in relationships in a way that they can't compete. The way that we connect to our communities we were able to do that on a level that they could never do that. We are grassroots. We have boots on the ground. We're able to get out there and make a significant difference in the communities that support us. And that's how we compete. And when they learn the who that your company is, as opposed to the what that you do, that's when you can really build a relationship. And that's when you build trust. When they know who you are, they're willing to trust you. And a word of caution is, it's yours to lose. And none of us want to lose somebody's trust. So getting there is one step. The next step is to keep it.
Thank you for saying the who, because there's a great book recently written by Dan Kennedy called Who Not How. And I read it. I consumed it so quickly. And I fell in love with the concept of it. And you just mentioned it. If I need to get something done, fixed, or repaired, I need to find my who that's going to do it for me. I don't need to ask the question, how am I going to get this done? I've got to find the who. And you read that book, and then you stop and think, how do I get my customer to look at me as their who for auto repair? A phenomenal book. And the minute you read it, you'll start thinking way out of the box and getting deep into this trust and customer relationship piece.
Yeah, I'm not sure about you, Andy, but I know I have my own electrician that I trust. I'm a key dropper. You know, when it comes to my electrician, I'm a key dropper. When it comes to my HVAC,
yep,
I'm a key dropper because I need right now service. I'm also like you. I don't want to wait. Right. I don't want to hang out in somebody's waiting room. You know, I've got a lot of things going on. So I want to be able to give a direction to somebody and I trust that they're going to do exactly what I ask. If I were to draw a picture on the back of a cocktail napkin and give it to him to design a system that works, I know that this guy, in this case, it's Jeff, I know that he can do exactly what I say. I'm not going to ask him for a quote. I'm not going to ask him for a bid or how long it's going to take. I know I become a priority. I'm his key dropper. And, you know, and I may pay a premium for that, but that's okay because time is money. And if I can get what I need to be done quickly and efficiently, and to know if there's ever a problem, it's never a problem because he's going to take care of it. That to me is the perfect relationship. And we're not unique in that. I believe that our best customers are just like us. That's what they want from us.
It's absolutely true. I just read a story earlier this week about Nordstrom versus Walmart, right? Nordstrom charges on average 20% over the retail price that you can get a comparable item somewhere else, mm-hmm, because their business is based on relationship with right. their client. Walmart, you know that you're not going to get very much customer service. You know you're going to get a slightly inferior product, and the people that want to shop at Walmart, that's fine for them. But at Nordstrom, my mother-in-law buys Christmas presents for my two brother-in-laws, her sons, and myself at Nordstrom because she can call Tony at Nordstrom and tell him, hey, you know what, pick out some things for Zach and Andy and Andy. And right. She doesn't even have to see him, right?
So, makes her feel good.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Carm here, and coming up, Andy and Charlie discuss subscription-based services. Hi, Carm here, and I want to talk to you about the NAPA Auto Care Center program for health insurance. We've all heard the reports about the rising cost of health insurance, but you'll be happy to know I'm here with really good news. The NAPA Insurance Center is now offering the NAPA National Health Program, and it's saving NAPA Auto Care Centers and their employees money, lots of money. In fact, in the first 90 days following the launch of the program, NAPA stores and auto care centers and their employees saved over $2.7 million. That's all thanks to the NAPA Insurance Center's partnership with United Healthcare. It gives auto care centers access to the national large group rates on medical insurance with premiums discounted up to 30%. Now, these rates are based on the collective purchasing potential of 22,500 NAPA locations, including both NAPA Auto Parts stores and NAPA Auto Care Centers. And listen to this. The news just keeps getting better. You can choose from four excellent United Healthcare medical plans with varying levels of coverage and deductibles to meet a range of needs. All plans are PPOs, preferred provider organizations, with comprehensive coverage. Because of the NAPA Insurance Center's partnership with Aflac, you can have access to supplemental insurance benefits, including disability, accident, hospital, and more, all at a NAPA-only discount, up to 35%. The NAPA Benefits Center can help you with other group benefits, too, including group life insurance, retirement, HSAs, and more. NAPA's National Health Benefit Program is just one of the many reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Talk to your servicing NAPA store. For more detailed information about the NAPA National Health Program, visit the NAPA Benefits Center at www.napabenefitscenter.com or call the NAPA Benefits Center at 844-627-2123.
You've heard the story, one of the classic stories of Nordstrom, where someone, I believe, brought a set of tires back to Nordstrom and says, here, I don't want them. They knew they never bought them there, but they gave them their money back, right?
Yeah.
because they were a great customer who forgot where they got whatever they bought. And it's a great, great company, and it goes and proves the point. Guys, let's think about this. Have you ever sat down with your service advisors, service managers, and said, out of our customer base, these thousands of people that rely on us, what's the percentage of people that trust us to the point that they just drop their keys?
I think we all preach the 20-80% rule, but I don't think that 20% of our customers are key droppers, at least not mine yet. What we do, so my son's our general manager, and Andrew listens to nearly every telephone call that comes in. That's our best insight into, you know, what customers are expecting. Are their expectations being met? And also a training tool, you know, for our people. If we can hear real time a telephone call and then pull them to the side if they need to be trained on it and then use it as an example, you know, they can hear the influx in their voice or the lack of. All of these touch points are critical. How your office smells when a person walks in, how clean your bathroom is. If you read through my reviews, you'll see several where a person doesn't talk about the services that we provide. They talk about my bathroom. and they'll commonly say it's cleaner than theirs at home. You know, that's a win, you know, for me. You know, the quality of our coffee. You know, do you have Folgers or do you have, you know, Javalia? Everything is a touch point. You know, what are you playing on the TV? All of those things back up the who that your company is. It's your brand. And a strong brand can build that trust, that relationship, to make that real connection.
Andy, I do want to have you comment on how many people drop their keys. But to the point that you just made, Charlie, the coffee, the bathroom, are we going to get back post-COVID to people hanging around?
We all hope to see more and feel more from our customers, but we learned a great lesson during COVID. You know, we learned what was possible. Some of us took advantage of the fact that we couldn't have waiters. You know, we maybe had painter's tape stretched across the chairs in the waiting room, and we said, I'm sorry, you know, we can't have you waiting, you know, out of protection or concern for our customers and for ourselves. And what we learned was that allowed us to train our customers not to wait. And, you know, we all know the advantages of a person who drops off as opposed to waiting. So will it return? To some extent. I would hate to think that we pass up the opportunity that we were given by COVID. I think COVID was a great opportunity. We bought a shop in July of 2020, and we could not have bought that shop if it wasn't for COVID. Our customers have changed their behavior because of COVID. You know, we've gotten a lot of advantages because of this time. And I think that we can take the good from that and accentuate it and maybe not let things return completely to the way that they were.
Andy, you told me the other day, Murphy's Law, you said, look at all the money the dealerships invested and then we were shut down.
Yeah. I mean, they poured millions into these locations with granite and marble and glass and stainless steel and beautiful waiting rooms. And then COVID hits and nobody can wait in waiting rooms and nobody wants to. Yeah. I personally think that we're going to see a lot less waiting around, because I think one of the things that COVID did, it stressed to people the value of their time. Your time is really worth something. There's a lot of people, you know, and I think you're going to see less people waiting in line for sales, you know, less of that Black Friday type of behavior. It's so much more valuable to drop off your car and go on with your life. Go to work, go to school, go to the library, go get something accomplished. And I think people are coming away from this with a better appreciation of what their time is worth.
Do we have to spend a ton of time on the counter telling them how we make our sausage?
No. I don't think most clients want to know how the sausage is made. They might indicate that they do, but they don't want to hear technical details. There's a small contingent of people, the 5% who are very tech-oriented, who like getting into the nuts and bolts of what you're doing. But most people, when you start going into the technical explanation of why their strut needs to be replaced, their eyes are glazing over. I think as shop owners, we naturally hew towards the technical, where the really good operators, they focus on the human side of it.
There was a question, Andy, that I had tossed at both of you guys, and Charlie answered, and then I do what I normally do. I interrupt things because, you know, these thoughts go through my head. But my question was, sit down with your people and say, out of all of our customers, how many key droppers do we have? Is that a decent exercise? Could we then identify another 20 or 30 that we would love to develop into that trusted relationship? To me, it's a heck of an exercise.
And that type of reflection on our processes is something that we often do. We haven't done it with the key droppers, with that kind of a test, but it's a great question. I would say that our natural process from acquiring a new client through making them a repeat client, it's going to direct them towards being a key dropper, because we start off with, here's all the information. And then let us know how much you want. You know, how much do you want to know? It's so easy to share that information now that the marginal cost of time in sharing everything. So, and we always preach total transparency in our shop. So we start off with everything and then we let them scale it back to what fits you. What do you feel comfortable with? And then you get a natural progression of some of our clients who are just like, after about the second or third visit, they're like, yeah, just do it. I don't need to hear the explanation.
Charlie, what Andy just said is, who trains who? Are we training our customers or are they training us? And maybe we shouldn't accept the training that they want and we should push a little harder into the key drop mode.
It's all about what we focus on. I think both Andy and I have not really asked the question of our people to figure out what that number is, and it hasn't really been a focus. I think as an industry, and I'm speaking for myself first, I think we do a terrible job, at least I do, of marketing to my current customer base. When you look at the percentage of money that we spend in advertising, you know, we spend a gross, you know, a large margin on new customer acquisition. Why would we do that? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I think that we're driven to do that because the companies that are out there to facilitate our marketing, that's how they're designed. You know, so they've trained us to spend money for new customer acquisition. Meanwhile, we have low-hanging fruit in front of us, which is our current customer base. They're the ones who already know us, who already love us, and who maybe need some attention from time to time, yet we tend to ignore them. And that's a grave mistake. One of the things we're trying to do is to get better on that. And I think that if we were making how many of our customers are key droppers, if we were making that a focus, that we would start focusing on our current customer base. And as a result, moving some of that marketing money towards customer retention and in turn create more key droppers.
Could you guys grow 20% just by working the deferred work from your current customers?
For sure.
Your point's so well taken, Charlie.
I've had arguments with my SMS provider that it's their responsibility to help me market to my deferred customers because it's in their database. You know, why does this not exist in a program that I'm already paying for? And there's plenty of third-party companies out there who would love to be able to help us connect the dots, but they do so very badly. And I've always thought the correct way to do that is to have an intentional conversation at the closing of the relationship. So the person's picking up their car, you've deferred tires because the timing was bad, the money wasn't quite there, whatever the reason was. And you have an intentional conversation saying, you know, Mr. Smith, I understand we talked about tires. I would like to send you a gentle reminder in about 45 days that would allow you to click a link and just make an appointment for tire replacement. You know, would you mind if I did that? You know, so you're getting his authorization in the beginning. You should be able to, as you're closing out the repair order, click a button that sends a message, targeted message, to Mr. Smith, reminding him of his tires. And it starts off by saying, 45 days ago, I mentioned to you that I was going to give you a gentle reminder. Well, here I am. You know, that's not objectionable. Nobody's going to really mind that. But the customer is going to appreciate the approach to what's best for them without the pressure of, you know, come in Tuesday through Thursday for the biggest discount. You know, we are a needs-based business. We cannot advertise enough to create the need. The need either exists or it doesn't exist. How we communicate and talk to our customers that are already loving us is what's going to make the difference to convert them to a key dropper. And I'm not sure about you, but my number one new customer lead source is word of mouth referral. If I'm better with my current customer base, wouldn't that automatically produce more word of mouth referrals, which is our number one lead source, which is the one that I'm not paying for through advertising means? I'm preaching to myself, you know, I need to be better about this, but the handwriting is on the wall on how to gain this.
Andy, I'm watching you and you're just smiling all get out. Bookend this.
One of the things that we did last year, I got away from the large company to manage our website, to manage our CRM, and we went with a independent branding, graphic design. This woman, she does all of our digital ads, print ads, all. She revamped our logo, does all that kind of stuff. And she really encouraged me to start a newsletter. And I've always been kind of skeptical of newsletters from shops, but she took it from a very creative side. We started a newsletter last year, and here's the metric that I'll give you. About 2,000 current customers that we sent the newsletter out to, we've had less than 10 unsubscribes from that automatic mailer because it's a really good newsletter and it's entertaining and it's not offering discounts and it's not giving like boilerplate articles that they could find anywhere. It always has some kind of an interesting thing, has a great design, and people really, they've mentioned how much they like getting the newsletter. So having that touch point, you know, six times a year where they're getting the newsletter, and that just reinforces the relationship. And like Charlie said, our biggest source of new customers has always been word of mouth referrals. So it's absolutely right. You know, mine your customer database and take care of your current customers and recognize that's a big growth channel for your business.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
the takeaways that I'm walking away with, they're just cycling through my head. We're spending money finding new customers. Why don't we just turn social media into brand building in versus spending money to get, since 36% of the people that come through your shop need tires anyway? Just stop and think, Andy. 600 people of your customer database need tires. Why aren't we just telling them to come in for a free tire check? And you don't have to tell the rest of the world, just tell the current customers. And then again, why not pre-scheduling? You know, there's a growth opportunity. And the pre-scheduling connects to the deferred work. It's almost like I didn't expect this episode to go where it did. And then on top of it all, let's put the umbrella up and talk about how do we make more customers into key droppers. To me, if every time the phone rang or someone walked in, that would be a goal. And could you then start tracking in a metric the number of people that come in, drop their keys, they still want to know what's going on, send me the, you know, approval or the DVI, and how many of them come in, drop, and always say yes? Could that be that metric that we want to track?
You know, we're talking about how do we get people, more people, to become key droppers. You know, Andy and I have some pretty busy shops. All year long last year, a couple of our locations were booked out 3 weeks, which that may sound great to some people. To me, it sounds terrible, you know, because, you know, we're telling good customers, no, you know, we're a convenience-based business and we're telling people, I'm sorry, we're not convenient. You know, that is a tremendous threat. You remember the trust is ours to lose? Well, we're going to lose trust right at that moment. And I really can't, we've got great people, but I really can't expect the people on the front counter to be able to psychoanalyze every telephone call to know who to say yes to and who to say no to. It's a threat. So my rabbit hole is a subscription service. You know, there's a lot of buzz around the industry right now about subscriptions. And we're trying to figure out, what does that look like? You know, what's the person willing to pay? What are they willing to pay for? How does that work? How do you charge? I mean, lots of different questions. My take on it is, and I got this idea because my daughter is pre-med and she's looking at a practice in her future that is a subscription-based practice. So taking what I've learned from her and applying it to the automotive repair business and my immediate problem of being too busy, if I had a low point of entry subscription service to give to my VIP customers, not to give to, but to charge to my VIP customers, maybe it's $9 per month. But with that comes guaranteed 24-hour appointments. You know, something that is going to be resolving the issue that I think is one of my biggest threats, which is to be too busy. So a person calls in, hey, William, I need to schedule an appointment for a state inspection for Friday. William's go-to may be, well, we're booking for 2.5 weeks from today, but, you know, are you a VIP customer? Oh, well, that's different. Let me go ahead and get this scheduled for you. Now, you have to alter your behavior a little bit, but if a person's treated as a VIP, and obviously we can't call people key droppers, it doesn't sound very respectful, just as those who decline work or bottom feeders, we wouldn't say that. But, you know, a VIP customer has a membership that they're paying for. It gives them exclusive rights. You know, would I pay my electrician an extra $9 per month so that I can be guaranteed 24-hour service? Heck yeah. I mean, why wouldn't I? So the subscription-based service may help us resolve some issues and drive change with our customers to get them to become key droppers.
Dentists, if something chipped and broke off and you called your dentist, guess how quickly you could get in that day? I bet you, or by tomorrow morning. Somehow they must have figured out how not to book 110% of the hours that they have, because they know, Charlie, to your point, they know there's going to be X amount of calls that are in an emergency situation.
They're not rocket scientists. They prioritize broken teeth the same way Andy and I prioritize broken cars. And if my schedule is 100% booked, but I've got a person with a broken transmission, I'll call some of my customers. I'll give them an advantage, a free oil change or $100 off if I can rebook their appointment to make room for the broken transmission. Yeah, and that's how the dentists are doing it.
I've gotten those calls. Hey, can you rebook? We had an emergency. The thing I love about subscription, and I know the jury is still out, but there's people trying it. There's a connection. There's a loyalty. There's a bond there. You know, and I think what you were trying to say is, quote unquote, whatever we want to call it, key droppers or not, that may be the significant differentiator. Instead of saying how many key droppers do we have, how many more can we make, why don't we just make them subscribers?
There's a restaurant in town, and there may be restaurants in Chicago like this, but you can rent a locker to keep your wine in. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, cigars, too.
At what level of do you see yourself as when you need to have a rented space in a public restaurant to have your private wine or your private cigars? And I'm assuming that the reason that you do that or that they do that is it makes them feel really special when they walk in there with their buddies, their work cronies, their significant other, and they get the key to their special area or with the name on the back of their seat. I mean, whatever floats their boat, but people like to feel special.
Sure.
If there's a way that we can give them that, to be trained by them, to listen to what they're asking for, to give it to them, that level of relationship and trust, you have become their most special point of contact that day, that week, that month. You know, that's what builds a key dropper.
This was great. I mean, I really enjoyed the conversation. I know once it started there 30 some minutes ago and to where we are today, we just did a wonderful trip through the automotive aftermarket here. Wow. I love this. Wow. So we set out to, you know, how do we get more customers to be loyal, to trust us, to build a relationship? And here we are now talking about subscription services. Charlie, next time I'm going to know that no matter what I start out with, I'm always going to trust that you're going to take it somewhere else.
That's a fault of mine. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I love it. This is what we do here. Andy, you know, this we're podcasters. We do this stuff.
We go down the trail when the trails open up.
Right? Yeah, when the trail opens, exactly. Hey, guys, thanks for being here. Any final comment, Andy?
We want our customers to be more loyal and trustworthy. Let's give them the reasons to be loyal and trustworthy to us. It's not that hard.
No, it's not. It really isn't. Everything that you're talking about in social media, we may not even talk about it enough when we have that one-on-one opportunity. Charlie, I'll give you the last word.
You know, it's about value proposition. You know, what is the value proposition? And some shops feel it's price. You know, some shops feel it's convenience. For me, it's really the relationship. I would like to have people know the who that my company is, not the what that we do so much. That, to me, is a great customer if they care.
Well, thank you. Charlie Marcotte, American Pride Automotive, 4 locations, Virginia Peninsula. And Andy Bizzib, Midwest Performance Cars, 2 locations, Chicago, Illinois. Now, did you change your entire logo? Because I have a hat with your logo on it, you know.
We just did a very, very small tweak to the logo. And she tweaked it, and it came out perfect.
So. I wear your hat. I still wear that. Yeah.
This is a new model, the black on black model.
Hey, Carm, that might be a vintage hat now. It's worth more than it was
right.
Before.
Yes, yes, it is. It's worth $11.95 right now. And I'll put it up on eBay. We'll see what happens. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the Premier Automotive Aftermarket Podcast. Until next time.